Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net.
Today, an Outcast World London has suffered its hottest June day on record. It's so hot that I can't go in the studio, so I'm going to be a guest on my own show from my own living room. Sat there. Nick Charles is in an actual studio in Manchester, and today we're talking about Andy Burnham and how people are starting to look at what he might be like for queer people on issues like Gaza and on immigration as well.
Queer politics.
When Farage says jump, Labour might say how high.
And it's not true. It's offering people false hope.
Sex.
Dating apps have become a breeding ground for the worst of human behaviours.
And culture.
What do you want, home? We get together, we be simple. Simple. Be simple for me.
He will, like, go nosh himself off.
This is Outcast World.
I can't be in that studio today. I can't. Cannot do that today.
You're a bit warm, girl.
I am warm. That's why.
Lord.
Yeah, I'm back on the cams, dressed like this. What's going on?
It's hard being white and warm at the same time.
It is. It's hard being a member.
Sorry,
of the
can't
community.
Relate. Sorry, can't relate with my melanated skin. I was born for this weather. But before we get into the discussion, I just want to say big shout out to the people of Trinidad who has well and truly stepped up their game this morning and has helping out with the first aid in Venezuela, because they got hit by not one but two massive earthquakes earlier today. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it did.
When you think we have it harder across here with heat, other people have it way harder.
Yeah. No, totally. You know, this humidity, like here now, humidity is like higher than like at any point I can remember. Is that what the heat's like in Trinidad?
Well, I know back in Trinidad, the heat could get up to 36, but it's windy.
It is,
you
isn't it?
You don't feel it. You don't feel it. And also, the peak of the sun in Trinidad is usually around maybe like 1 or 2 o'clock, because in Trinidad the clock by 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock is late. It's night time. Like we don't have long days.
People don't realize this.
In other news, we need to talk about Andy Burnham, my good friend Andy from around the corner.
So I was. Mm-hmm. You sent me a message through the week, and you were like, you pointed out something he'd done, and I dared about it.
Yeah.
And I think I put it to the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Because I thought. I think we're just like, he's clearly the only person who can beat reform. That seems like the worst possible thing. Mm. And then everything's like, it's kind of the more I learn, the more I'm concerned about. But you put this really interesting thing to me about it's his immigration stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, not only that, I feel like this is my whole take on him. Like if he, because I feel like he's in line to be sworn in. It's going to happen.
But yeah, it's going to happen.
I think these are my pros and cons of Andy Burnham. I think he connects well emotionally with voters. I think his biggest strength is his political communication. He comes across authentic. He's especially compared to like the Westminster technorats. I call them technorats, not technocrats, technorats. Now, during COVID, his standoff with Boris Johnson over Greater Manchester funding turned him into like a symbol of Northern resistance. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, regional pride, and, you know, he'd been branded as like King of the North and stuff. Now, as well as that, I think he has the strongest advocate for English devolution. His whole political identity is tied to the idea the UK is too London-centric. His Manchesterism agenda is basically more local control, regional transport powers, housing investment, integrated public services and economic decentralization. Now, he's one of the few, I'm pretty sure I did some look into this a few months ago. He's one of the few senior Labour figures who's constantly argued that the North should not just be managed from Westminster, which I totally believe in. Like,
yeah, no,
I live
agree.
Here.
So but do you think he'll do it? Do you think he's going to go through with this?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. And I think that is where his credibility comes from, him, you know, being seen as a northern powerhouse kind of vibe. Now, he might not be electorally stronger than Labour's current Westminster brand because he is based in the north. Now, polling and commentary increasingly frame him as someone who could reconnect Labour with working class northern votes drifting towards Nigel Farage and Reform UK. Now, the thing with Andy is he blends social moderate language, he has regional identity, and he has centre-left economics, and that is politically valuable right now.
Yeah,
now, this is where my brain is at.
So you're with him so far. Kind of like, yeah. This all sounds good. Yeah.
So far, he can look opportunistic or ideologically slippery. Because a lot of people have said Burnham adapts his political depending on the audience, which is right. I think he blends in that chameleon when needed. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and do you think that's good or bad? Because sometimes you need to do a bit of that, don't you, to get the stuff done?
Yeah, I think you have to climb the ladder, but you have to be able to not walk on. You have to walk on eggshell, but not hurt the people around you who got you where you need to at the same time. Now, you know, his shifts on Brexit and, you know, his...
What do you think his shift on Brexit is? You mean like he was pro-Europe and now he's saying we don't want to have another referendum?
Yeah.
I think everyone knows what that means really though, don't they? It just means like he doesn't want to piss off people from like Wigan, which is essentially proven he can get through it by doing that, hasn't he?
Exactly. My whole thing is this, right? A strong mayor doesn't automatically equal you as a strong prime minister because they're two different things. You're controlling a city and a town, you're controlling a country. These are big things because running Greater Manchester is not the same as running the treasury, the foreign policy, defence.
The mayor of Manchester's got a budget of about £3 billion. It's one of the bigger ones, like London, it controls health and social care. So I think like it's true, it's different, isn't it? And true that all these are just nice things he's saying.
Yeah.
What's the issue then? What is it?
Well,
that's
this is my thing, and this is where I stand in it. We all know our trans community is in a disarray at the minute. Now, this is where I feel things get very political delicate. Now, historically, Andy Burnham has had a reputation as he's LGBTQ+ friendly. Now, he has apologized for historical discrimination against the LGBTQ+ people of Manchester by Greater Manchester Police and has generally used inclusive language. But more recently, after the UK legal and policy debates around single-sex spaces, he moved towards a more cautious live and let live position. Now, his current framing is roughly accept the Supreme Court guidance and protect single-sex spaces, but avoid marginalizing trans people.
By doing that, he is marginalizing trans people, isn't he?
Exactly. Now, that means gender-critical campaigners think he lacks clarity, while many trans advocates feel he has retreated from stronger support.
Now, so what we're getting there, though, is he won't tell us what he thinks because he's frightened of pissing off the people that he's voted
in. Exactly.
Do you not think he needs to lead opinion? Yeah,
exactly. You need to stand on business when it comes to stuff like it because the people, especially in Manchester, which is relatively openly one of the most queer cities in Britain, outside of Brighton, Manchester is known for being queer as hell. And if you are marching alongside your fellow trans people in Manchester, you have to be able to look around where you come from and take that fight to Westminster. You have to stand on business, girl.
He did say, one thing he said that I was interested in, he was interested in bringing in proportional representation, so we're not on that first past the post thing that keeps on giving these distorted outcomes.
Yeah.
And that seems to me to be like the most fair thing to do. The only thing that I think might change on that is he won Makerfield by nearly 55% of the vote. If you're pulling in numbers like that, you're going to have to be pretty solid, like morally, to stick to that, aren't you, as a thing? Because right now, the system as it is favours him. So is he going to stick to that? Is he going to basically be another Labour politician that just wants to fucking shit on the rights of trans people again by going, well, I don't know, and just saying meets up words that try and like move him through that situation? What bothered me so much was reading the him essentially agreeing with Nigel Farage. That troubled me. Like, I've been on a full circle with this Burnham stuff.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I think anybody who isn't like Britain born or immigrated here are going to feel, you know, a little bit, you know, disheartened. And I think, you know, because Farage treats immigration primarily as a border control issue. But Burnham, I feel like he's trying to treat it more as a pressure on public services integration issue. Now, that is the clearest distinction holds so far. However, I think the statement he made supporting Nigel in a way where immigration came into play, it...
Detention camps, wasn't it? Yeah, was that what it was?
I feel like that is just saying... That in a roundabout way, that's just saying, we don't want you here, get out.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
It does. And now, my whole thing was this. I really hope that he recognizes that if the mainstream parties was to discuss immigration pressures, honestly, voters will move towards Nigel. So he needs to know what he's doing right now. If it is, he gets sworn in. I mean, well, most likely he will get sworn in, but...
He's going to get sworn in, isn't he? But he will be prime minister whilst immigration... But like, obviously, it's mad that we're saying this. Immigration will go so low that it goes into reverse. More people are leaving the country than are arriving. So if that was the ultimate end goal, and it's here, what the fuck now? What next? Because it doesn't seem to be enough for like restore, does it? Who are coming up with things like remigration and where does it end? I don't think there's any pleasing that a lot of people...
There's not pleasing. I think politically... inclined, like I think he's very on the board with what he can do. I think we could see real change if he steps into Westminster. My problem is I just don't want him to bend backwards for the Labour Party on certain things, because when that happens, you look weak.
Yeah.
Because keep in mind that you are potentially now the northern powerhouse.
So the thing that I'm going to pin him down on is, as well as trans rights, it's the tough stuff. Gaza. Like, he won't call it a genocide. He refused to, even though the UN and a load of legal and experts have done
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Did you see who he hired as his chief of staff? His chief of staff is James Purnell, who was a former cabinet minister under Tony Blair, whatever. So was Andrew Burnham. That's fine. But he's the former chair of Labour Friends of Israel, who ran a lobbying firm called Flint Global, who resigned on Wednesday. And they advised Thames Water's bondholders. These are the people who are fighting the nationalisation of Thames Water and the utilities. He's there advising them on how to avoid it. Then he's in the government that says it's going to nationalise these things. What's going to give? It's weird. The more I learn, the more I'm worried.
Yeah, and I think that is what a lot of people is at now. Because as usual, you know, like when these mayors become again a new position, all eyes are on you, and this is where the conversation is going to start being framed in a way where it's a make or break moment. Sadly, sadly for him, is a little bit tougher, because when we had former ministers who became prime ministers, it was with the Conservative, and no one batted an eye, no one cared. People talk, but it wasn't. But now that you are making actual change, all eyes is on the Labour Party right now. And
I noticed the Conservatives stopped attacking them on the line. If you can't change prime minister, because they did it how many times before? I can't remember. I literally can't remember. In fact, isn't it mad that it just feels so like, oh, well, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Burnham's having a go.
Yeah. I know. We're going to have a go soon at this point.
Yeah.
We're going to run for prime minister soon.
When's it your turn?
Meet a black LGBTQ plus man. God. We'll never make it happen. Look how they treated Diane just for drinking a fucking gin on a train.
I know.
No, I mean? Jesus. Yeah.
Or not being able to do quick maths on LBC at 7:45 in the morning. She's like, not on top of it. It's like, no, she's fucking tired.
And also,
you know, when she appears on TV, my husband calls her Auntie Diane every time.
We love Auntie Diane.
We love her.
But yeah, so those are my hot takes about, like, what I wish Andy Burnham the best. I feel like...
Yeah, same.
I really hope he stands on business. I really hope he does the things that are required for him. And I hope that he takes the spirit of Manchester to Westminster, because I feel like we need a better day I live up here, and I know what it's like to live in a city like this, and it's very different, and it's very friendly, and you know, it's very open to different people. I really hope that he takes that sportsmanship of Manchester to
a mindset, that really open mindset. It would be good if he did. And I think there's such a place, isn't there, for like, I can't remember there being a northern prime minister. And it might just do something for... I know he's part of the establishment, but it might just do something for people up north. They'd be like, oh, well, he has absolutely listened to us. Because you can't, like... A lot of prejudice and a lot of Brexit and all that is all based on the idea that people up north feel like they've been shit on by the fact that London is a lot bigger than it is. And that makes total
and
sense.
And we get... We in the Midlands, we get forgotten about. The North suffers the most when London is the big... Like, London is the biggest place, we get it.
London's the engine, isn't it? That's the argument. London's the engine that brings the money and that pays for the stuff for the country. But we are the ones turning to...
Everyone else is... The wheels are turning everywhere else for the engine to run. You know what I mean?
Totally. Well, I think ultimately... I hope it works. But let's be honest, it's 50-50 that we'll be back here in 18 months. Just being really disappointed. You know, when all of this stuff comes out, it turns out he doesn't like change course on Gaza, any of that stuff that bothers us. And we could be just back here in the same position.
Indeed.
Looking at Nigel Farage as Prime Minister. Nick, I'll let you get back to your day. Thanks very much, love.
No worries, darling. I love getting on here and have a little chat-a-woo. Have a lovely weekend. Please stay warm and I will see you soon.
Queer politics, sex and culture. Outcast World.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.